Hello, this is Grant from the Bank of Cardiff.
Hey, Grant, it's John McKenzie with Expansion.
Oh, hey, John, how's it been?
Pretty good, sir. How you been?
Oh, just trying to, build up our arsenal again over here at Cardiff and staying really busy, Holidays coming around and hoping lots of people want some loans.
Nice. Did you guys go through a restructure, a reorganization, or rethink your lender partners, or have things been business as usual?
I wouldn't say it's business as usual. The last time we spoke was, I think, about a year ago, according to my emails. And back then, I was pretty new, and I still am, but I was really new back then and still just trying to learn about the different programs out there. Since then, we've been adding a bunch of new partners and building out our operations team. We've expanded to a new office just for operations. So we've experienced a good amount of growth recently. But then the other day, Fora Financing came in, and we were just having a meeting because they're one of our partners, and they were talking about you guys and how you've been doing really well, and so thought that would be a good sign for me to reach out and see what's changed since we last spoken and how we can start submitting again and building that relationship.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you reached out. I had just thought about you guys randomly the other day. I don't remember if it was a deal that we had worked on or something like that came across my desk, and I had wanted to reach out and something else caught my attention and I never did. So glad that we're able to reconnect. And Friday, I think we were both having phone issues. I think I got your first call, but then I went to call you back and they were doing a reset on our system at 5 o'clock Central Time. Mm-hmm. And so then it just showed up as a voicemail for me, but I gave you a couple of just little details in that email about some new programs that we have. We've expanded out in both directions, and we're really trying to be more of a one-stop shop. I don't think we'll ever cover the gamut from, high risk to the super premium type stuff. Mm-hmm. But once things start getting declined at TAN or OnDeck or some of those higher tier lenders, we want to be and strive to be kind of a catch-all for a lot of the stuff that falls below that. So the 70 business day is kind of our high risk offer. The alternative for these is to kind of struggle through the OnDeck and the Yellowstone and the Pearls of the world to try to get something done. With those types of files, I think we're more competitive and we're definitely more responsive and definitely more reputable as far as like when renewals come and all of that.
I can tell you kind of what
you guys work with them.
We do. Like recently, just because we have had a chance to expand, I've had more time to kind of sit back and look at our layout of who we've lended with. So just to kind of get you up to speed with what we have on board right now. Still working with OnDeck and NewLogic, though NewLogic's having their own issues right now. BizFi,
what, being overwhelmed or?
Just after a deal is technically funded, contracted, and all steps are clear, it takes about 7 to 10 business days for funds to drop into our customers' accounts. Have you not heard
really?
Of this? Have you not heard of this?
No.
Yeah, so NewLogic has a very long delayed funding time. Like, it's really kind of hampered some of our deals. So we're...
Is it that they don't have the funds available to actually fund them, or is there like another layer of due diligence that they go through?
That's the question. We had Fora come in, and that's what we were talking about. They're like, all ISOs are freaking out because NewLogic's like, oh, it's a technical glitch. Oh, it's a holiday. They're not telling the truth. We think that one of the credit facilities cut them off, and they're trying to figure that out. But that's all hearsay. The fact is, this is what's happening. We'll fund a deal, but then it'll take 7 to 10 business days for funds to actually drop into somebody's account. So due to that delay, we kind of have to rethink who we're going to be submitting to.
Yeah. Well, that's tough. I mean, that's a tough sell, too. I bet the customers are irate once they get funded and are waiting.
Yeah, we've actually had to really preface all of our sales reps. It's like, guys, we'll submit to NewLogic, but you need to preface the customer saying, look, this is a program that will take a while for the funds to drop into your account. So if this is a time-sensitive need, then we should not move forward with this program.
Wow. That's tough. So other than TAN, what other lenders? I know you said Fora.
Yeah, so we've added Credibly. They've been all right. They've been having a lot of steps on the back, and that's given us some issues. But we've funded some deals there, beginning to build some traction. The one that we recently added last month was Forward Financing. And they've been real successful for us, and that's what we brought up with Forward. We're like, oh, like, who do you think are the big players in the second position field right now? And they said Forward Financing and Expansion have been kind of key players for them, and that's why I wanted to reach back out. Other than that, we still work with Yellowstone, kind of, not really. You know, it's really just last resort sort of scenarios, as well as Pearl and Everest and Knight are frequented for us. Though, you know,
how do you like those guys?
They're okay. You know, we're trying to build up a participation portfolio, and how it's turned out is like we've been cherry picking a lot from New Growth Capital and Forward Financing since we've added them on. And that's been nice. And we have the opportunities to participate at Everest, but we rarely do just because we find them to just be a little bit too risky for our tastes. Does Expansion allow for participation?
We do. Typically, though, that becomes available for partners that are doing 250K more or more per month, because it does take some setup on our side. But that is an option that's available if that's really important to you guys.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty important for sure. We're just trying to, you know, get our own portfolio running. So that's something that we could definitely cross down the line. I've already submitted, I think, two or three deals just to see if, you know, we were all still signed up and if you'd still process. It seems like things are going through. We got a decline the other day. I submitted another one today. Really,
that
I wanted
Verbrack
to call it.
I saw.
Yeah, Vibrac. It's a good credit, decent banks, pretty high balance considering, but I thought with, like, the ledgers, between the ledgers and the credit, maybe there's an opportunity there.
Okay. I know that deal from somewhere, but I can't find it anywhere in my system, so it might be a similarly spelled but not identical business.
Yeah, I've
but
seen
that sure sounds familiar.
I started about a year and a half ago, and I think that was one of the first deals that I was looking into myself. Don't quite remember the details of everything, but yes, I have seen it before. They're not unfamiliar to working capital by any means.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
But yeah, I want to just reconnect, talk to you guys. Always looking for partners who are responsive and fast, and you know, we've been having a good amount of business. We're about to hit our busy season, at least if we look back at historic trends. December, at least the first few weeks, are pretty booming. So just wanted to get up to speed with your guys' product, how things have changed, any news you might have that's happened over the year or what's to come. I mean, how's business been for you guys?
Business has been great. We had a really tough August, which was contrary to what we heard from some of our other partners. So I don't know what exactly happened in August, but it was just one of those months where I never want to think of again. It wasn't our worst month ever by any means, but based on our projections and how things had been moving prior to and after that, I was disappointed with where we ended up in August. But September was awesome. October was a bit better. We've really seen the nine-month offers take off. One, I think they're really aggressive on the term relative to the deal in general. Two, I think that compared to the other lenders that would put an aggressive offer on the same deal, we're offering another month. So I think that really helps with the amount of funding and then also the daily payment that you can offer to the customer. So we've been seeing the take rates through the roof on that nine-month program, so that's been really encouraging. And then on the other side of the coin, we introduced the starter offers, which they're expensive, they're short-term, the funding is pretty insignificant, but we've seen a really good success with that one as well. Just because even if the terms were the same, people would choose to work with us over Yellowstone any day of the week. It's going to be a much better experience for the rep as well as a better experience for the customer. And then when renewal time comes around, there's not going to be any games about where the commission went and all of that. But I think our terms are more aggressive. They usually offer like 66 days on some of these deals, and we're at 70 days. It's probably going to be about the same sell rate, and you'll probably make a point or two more with us. Plus, you get to get those deals done same day as opposed to just waiting 24 hours just for credit to come back with Yellowstone. So although the dollars aren't really huge in that bucket, the take rate's been really high, and the number of funded units that we've been able to add has been great. And that's all been gravy for us and our partners. Mm-hmm. We just had to decline those deals in the past. But we identified certain score bands on the low, middle, and high that we thought had exceptional performance and are trying to really kind of double down and put the funds that we need to deploy into those offers to make sure we win them. Customer may not take the full amount, but we're really trying to be as aggressive as we can with those three buckets. So on the low end, it's the high-risk product, 70 business days, pays 8 points, 1.419 buy rate. In the middle, we've got a new 6.5-month product. It wasn't quite appealing enough to push to our premier product, but it also was scoring out better than our standard programs, which are usually 4, 5, or 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we added another 10 days to the product, which gave us a little higher offer. Commission stays the same. And I don't know exactly what the buy rate is, but it's more attractive than the 6-month buy rate.
Gotcha.
And then on top of that, we've got our 9-month program, which if it scores out really well, they're going to get 9 months, and it's a buy rate of a 1.25. And you guys add up to 12 points to that. So it's a 1.37 sell rate over 180 business days.
What percentage of your business would say is second positions?
That's changing because our offer desk will do first, second, we call it our offer desk. Our the 70 business day high risk product is first, second, or third position, and a lot of those that don't score out well enough and end up in that bucket, it's because there is a first position or a second position. So I would say at least half or more of those are in second position. Company-wide, I would say maybe 70-30, 70% first. This is just strictly off the cuff, not based on any data. And we're definitely pushing in that direction. We kind of reevaluated the way we looked at second positions. In the past, it was more of a negative that they had a first position, and we would consequently be conservative on a funding amount and a term because of the existing first position. We realized that it's not always a bad thing. If we see demonstrated payment performance on a first position, that's something that should make us more comfortable, not less. And as long as they can afford the daily payment, why not stretch it out? If it scores out well enough, why not stretch it out to an appropriate term and use that payment history as a benefit? So we've even done some of these 9-month 1.25 buy rates in second position. So it's not limited to just first position.
Yeah, that makes sense. At least, you know, like I said, I haven't been in this industry for too long, about a year and a half now. But I've certainly have seen it as like its own living organism. It totally changes so much month after month. And the market itself has really changed. I mean, the proportion of people who come in with existing balances or an existing knowledge of this product has shifted dramatically since I've started. So I know that a lot of people have had to rethink the way they look at their customers when they do come into those positions. So that's always good news to hear. As far as, you know, it's been a little while. Have you guys done any changes in terms of industries to consider? Are there, like, ways you see yourself differentiating yourself from, like, a new growth or a forward financing?
So two big things, or two big industries are trucking / transportation and construction. With some of the middle-tier lenders, those have become restricted or cautionary industries. We've always focused on those, one, because we had gotten started in factoring, which is very close to the trucking and transportation industry, so we got a really good understanding of that industry and kind of know what's a good risk and what's a bad risk, probably better than most lenders in our space. So we've always been fine with that. We understand and are realistic that there are some recent performance issues with that industry, but we still feel that our scoring model is pulling out the good risks and separating those out from the bad risks. So we're still doing trucking and transportation. We also have a really lenient deposit count. All I need is 4 deposits a month, and I've actually seen a lot of stuff get approved with fewer than 4 deposits a month, which has kind of funneled in a lot of these construction and building trades deals to us. So again, those are also kind of challenged industries, especially going into the winter. But our scoring model has also kind of helped divide those from the good from the bad. So those are two industries that we're very strong with, that others are kind of shying away from. Other than that, other industries that do big deposits but low deposit counts are still going to be a good fit for us. Really, our only restricted industries are going to be vehicle sales, new or used, attorneys or debt collection, or anything legal related, any nonprofits or religious affiliated businesses, travel agencies,
and then
vices. We do real estate. We do property management. We'll even do a real estate agent as long as, even if they're home-based, as long as they meet their four deposits a month. Property management, oftentimes if they don't own the properties, which the vast majority of them don't, we'll have to discount their deposits to take into account the fact that they just earn a small commission, so they may collect $100,000 a month, but $90,000 of that goes back out to the property owners, and they just keep their service fee, which is the cut.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to be a little conservative relative to the deposits on property management, but that's absolutely an acceptability to us. And a lot of those guys, too, have a very short-term need. They're right in between projects or closings, and we have an aggressive early payment discount, which is a nice sale to them that, this money is so expensive. Yeah, it's expensive, but it's going to be a lot cheaper if you pay us back in the 30 days like you think you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they can save up to 15 cents on the dollar by paying us off early.
That sounds great. And you know that Cardiff is also equipment financing, and we do a lot with truckers and construction. I just wanted to cover some of the basics in terms of restricted industries that are common. Sounds like it's pretty standard across the board with the exception of real estate. I'm glad to hear that construction and trucking are considered, because that's a large part of our portfolio when it comes to the equipment financing that we do.
Awesome.
All right, great. Well, I just wanted to give you a call and kind of get the ball rolling again and see how things have been going. I was wondering if you had maybe any sort of sheets or anything that broke down expansions programs in a little bit more detail. That would be a little bit helpful. But other than that, there's only one real other question that I had for the time being, and it was maybe how your underwriting process has changed. Would you say that on every single deal it's, 100% a person getting their hands into it and understanding it, or have you kind of automated that process to some degree?
We've automated a good portion of it, but only to populate the ECG score, mm-hmm. which we use as kind of a guiding light for the human beings to make the offer. So if it's something that is, if it's something that has five positive things going for it and five negative things going for it, in the past it was a human being weighing those against each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of done by our ECG score. So if it scores a 95 out of 100 and the underwriter has some reservations, they usually use that score to set their reservations at ease and make a more aggressive offer. But if it's a great-looking deal and they can't quite figure out, something about it and it scores really poorly, then they tend to be a little bit more conservative. But it's always human beings reviewing it to make the final decision. If it's a large deal, oftentimes it will get run through two separate underwriters independently just to see how their offers would compare, and then they discuss and talk about which one makes the most sense. Now that we have our new starter program, everything that's declined hits one more additional stage. It adds about 15 or 20 minutes to the underwrite, but that's where we're able to pull out these starter offers for deals that we would have declined a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that is a manual process. They'll look at, well, what was the reason it was declined? Well, they had too many NSFs. And then they can look and see, okay, well, we're in a second position, but they're making payments on the first. Yes, they bounce every once in a while, but they otherwise have a strong average daily balance, and it's an industry that tends to perform well, so we'll make a $7,000 second position offer over 70 business days or something. So that is the most manual underwriting that we have.
All right. It sounds like it's maybe like 50% computer, 50% human from my understanding here.
The beginning part, which is the score, is 100% automated.
Yeah, yeah.
But we realize someone like OnDeck, who everything is automated, they pass over a lot of things that could be quality deals just because it's completely automated. So we're trying to kind of use the best of both worlds, get the automation in place to kind of steer us in the right direction, and then let the subjective nature of the human underwriting make the final call.
Yeah, the reason why I bring it up is just because since I've begun working here, it's been my task, as well as some other new hires that have come on in the credit analyst role, to reach out to new lenders to see if they're a good fit. And I've tried to reach out to, many different shops. I feel like Everest is kind of mostly automated, and then we kind of started working with this other company, New Era, and they were almost 100% human. And what I realized is that, at least with New Era, who's 100% human, it was a difficult relationship to have, because there is so much competition in the market at this point in time that, if we send you a certain number amount of deals and then only a few fund, it can cost a company like New Era, where it's 100% human, a lot of time for their underwriters. So I just wanted to understand about how much automation there is, just because, when we do submit to someone like Expansion, we're probably going to be submitting alongside a forward financing and a new growth as well. And so it could, come down to just strictly competition, and I just didn't want to be overutilizing your guys' resources by any means. And I want to know if this is something where I need to cherry pick where I can go to Expansion, or if I can give you guys a lot of opportunity. You guys are okay with the volume and the volume, but also okay with maybe, not getting, understanding that there will be a lot of competition if we send a lot of volume over. Does that make sense?
Yep, I get it. And obviously we'd prefer that someone be an expert and understand our underwriting inside and out and just know ahead of time that we're going to beat out X, Y, and Z and only send it to us. But the other side of the coin is I'm realistic and I know the seat that you're sitting in, and not only do you have to get the best deal possible for your clients, which means submitting it to multiple lenders, but to get back in the swing of things with us, it's probably going to take a few deals to kind of see for yourself where we shake out and how we compare. So especially in the early period, where you're starting to resubmit again, I would err on the side of sending more versus less, just so you can see firsthand. And send a representative sample. I mean, don't send something you'll get approved at Cannes or OnDeck, but if you think that it's probably going to be a fit at 3 out of 4 lenders or whatever, send it to us and just see where we shake out. I think you'll really see that 9-month offer shine. And then, you may get a bunch of declines from everyone on a pretty weak deal, but you may get something back on our starter program. So I
Yeah,
would say
certainly.
err on the side of sending more.
Okay, yeah, that's how I usually like to start things. I just wanted to be upfront about that point. And generally, the way we do submissions in credit is we'll start kind of on a tree. If you score really well, then we'll start with our better lenders that consist of maybe like Marlin, Ascentium, OnDeck, NewLogic, until they get, I mean, kind of until they get their shit together. But then once it begins to trickle down, we realize that OnDecks and NewLogics are out of the question. That's when we would begin our, expansion submissions, our forward financing submissions and whatnot. I know that there's been just kind of like a shakeup recently in the markets, especially with this NewLogic thing happening. I know that it's opening up other opportunities for, shops like yourself to sweep in on some good market share that's not being catered to. So,
Yeah, this is the first I'm learning of the new logic stuff. I'll have to
I'm
take a closer look into
surprised.
that.
I'm really surprised. We've had a bunch of, we had one of the founders of NewLogic come in, and he was the one who's like, "Look, it's just a technical glitch that we have working out." It's like, that doesn't make sense, so, dude. Like, we know that you could just wire money very easily. A lot of our other lenders are just speculating, and I ain't gonna say what's true and what's not, but they're speculating that it's probably some issues with one of their credit facilities, because why else would it take 7 to 10 days to just send some money?
Right.
So it's, yeah, I
Who
mean, yeah, look into it.
is the guy that said that to you?
The technical issues or the thought that there may be a credit line?
No, the guy that claimed that they were the one of the founders.
His name is like Les. Forget his last name. I could probably find out. But yeah, he was kind of like started with the company about 17, 20 years ago or something. Left for a little bit,
Okay.
came back. And yeah, he was just one of our contacts. So he came in and visited, and we were just kind of like, "Hey, why is it taking so long?" He's like, "Oh, technical glitches. Could be the case. We don't know." But yeah, our other partners have also ran into the same issue, and I've even seen some other shops out there sending out advertisements to us, just being like, "Are you having any issues with funds reaching your account in a timely manner? Like, come to us." So I think people are jumping on this opportunity. with NewLogic having issues. We're hoping they'll fix it soon because we were using them a lot, but it makes it hard when we got to wait so long.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the biggest benefits of this money is to get it quick. You know, it's fast. It's expensive, but it's quick.
It justifies it all.
Yeah.
It's really one of the main.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me.
Yeah, I think you'll find if you speak with other ISOs that work with NewLogic, I think you may find that they're running into the same issue. Let me know.
Yeah, it's just you guys.
No, I know it's not just us, but yeah, we've had to call up our reps at NewLogic and kind of start, you know, getting a little mean, like, come on, you know, this customer is quite upset.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. All right, well, I'll get some more information out to you just to get you up to speed, but know that things change every day here. We never file UCCs unless a file goes into default, and you'll never have to get a COJ signed. I know that's a tough sell with some of the other lenders.
Yeah, Everest requires it every time, and a lot of people file UCCs right away, and that's been more and more of the points of contention with our clients. So that's good news.
Well, I know
Ford does the same thing where they wait to file the UCC until they have reason to believe it's about to default.
Yep. We don't require any landlord verifications under 25K, and only if they have a separate business location over 25K. So it's nice not to have to deal with that hurdle as well, trying to get a deal done.
It's all these little details I'll have to become more familiar with over time. They make such a big difference. And so, yeah, looks like you guys definitely made some changes. Glad to hear that things are getting automated, and I'm going to start keeping you guys in mind for sending things out. I've already, like I said, I think sent one today, and as deals come through, I'll continue to do the same.
All right, sounds good, man. Well, good to catch up with you.
Yep, I'm sure we'll speak soon, John. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.